superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, what's up, everybody? We're back. It's the Rich Eisen Show Basketball Podcast, and we are in it. NBA Finals Game 1 went down last night in Denver. Whew. What city. I mean, it was closer, I think, than the score was closer than the game was, I think. Adam, TJ, what's up?
What's up?
Yo.
Denver takes Game 1, 104-93. He had a chance for a backdoor cover there at the end, which was interesting. but like I said, I think the score wasn't indicative of how that game was. Joker triple double is kind of expected. He was minus money for a triple double, which is insane. Jamal Murray was awesome last night. MPJ had 10 boards, his eighth game in the playoffs with 10 rebounds. He only had 3 in the regular season. Adam, is this series over?
No, it's far from over. Do I think
from over?
Yeah. Do I think the Denver Nuggets will win the series? Yes, but listen, the Miami Heat role players who were stars throughout the last few series were terrible last night. Max Strus didn't hit one shot. Max Strus was terrible last night. Duncan Robinson, awful also. This team has good players. They just were shooting bad last night. So those guys, I don't think will ever shoot as bad as they did last night. So I think the Heat do have a chance if they just shoot the way they have been shooting the last few series.
Well, that's not going to keep up either, TJ. I mean, the Heat aren't going to shoot 50% from three. You know, Caleb Martin's not going to be Dwayne Wade this whole series like he was against Boston. Do you think this series is over? Maybe gentlemen sweep?
I wouldn't say it's over, but I just look at two numbers here, 20-2. That is the amount of foul shots that the Nuggets and the Heat shot last night, 20 for the Nuggets. Two foul shots. Two. On the.
Crazy.
You know, uno dos. That's it. Like, ain't survive. The two foul shots for the Miami Heat. That's crazy. I don't know why that's not a bigger story, because that's that's a big gap in foul shots right there. But other than that, you know, these Miami role players, or as Jimmy calls them, he doesn't call them role players, he calls them teammates. Mm-hmm. None of them really did step up. And I have to assume that that won't be the case for the rest of this series. Do I think Denver's going to win? Yes. Do I think it's going to be a sweep? I really don't. I feel like this Heat team has got, you know, too much fight in them to just lay down and get steamrolled. Tyler Herro could be a big factor if he is able to come back, because a lot of those wide open corner threes that they were missing yesterday, I'd have to assume that Tyler would knock down. So, you know, also it's going to depend on his tank, right? He's been out for basically two months.
Been
so
for a while.
I don't know if game two is maybe the right time to put him back in with the altitude that's going on there. He might gas out early. But Aaron Gordon, let's give a shout out to him. He just basically dominated the first quarter of that game yesterday, and he really put them on his back, and it made it so that Jokic didn't have to do a whole lot other than distribute. And Jamal Murray just played great. KCP overall, he only had 7, but I swear it seemed like KCP had about 16 yesterday, to be honest with you. He played well.
What's wild, too,
is this team is good, man.
Denver essentially did it with a 6-man rotation. You know, Bruce Brown played 21 minutes.
21 minutes.
Uncle Jeff Green and Braun combined for 19 minutes. But Murray played 44. Joker played 40. MPJ played 43.
And, you know, not a deep bench, but they were just kind of dominant. It was, you know, a high teens, 20-point game, seemingly the whole contest after the first quarter there. You mentioned Aaron Gordon, 12 in the first. Joker took one shot, got to the line a little bit, had six assists in the first quarter. You kind of saw that. I mean, they didn't put up the crazy point numbers that they have been. I think their point total was like 109 or something for Vegas, and they were under that. But they were just mad efficient. And you mentioned the shooting. Caleb Martin, Strus, and Duncan Robinson combined 2 for 23. Not going to get it done.
Not against this team.
Not against this team. Jimmy Butler, too, Adam, only 6 of 14, but only got to the line zero times. Jimmy Butler lives at the foul line.
Yeah, he needs to be more aggressive and make it a point in game two. Because you know that a lot of people online were complaining about the lack of free throws for the Heat.
They were being aggressive, though.
And so you know the refs will be aware of that for game two.
Yeah.
So I think that if you're Jimmy Butler, you make it a point and you're very aggressive early in game two to get those calls.
Yeah,
and to get
to
the line as much as possible.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if Spo does the old Pat Riley trick of like really complaining today and tomorrow in the media about
just the lack of
the free throw disparity, sure. What's going on there, what do we have to do? But also, I just don't think Miami is being very aggressive. I mean, Bam Adebayo took 25 shots. How many of those were free throw jumpers or, you know, 12-foot jump shots?
Yeah, he was living in the mid-range.
He wasn't being that aggressive. And so, you know, they kind of didn't earn the free throws. 20-2, though, that is.
Yeah, I mean, at some point,
crazy.
Like, you know, there's a one play where Joker was setting a pick, I think, on Duncan. They ran into each other. You could see Joker wraps his hand around Duncan Robinson and pulls him down, and yet Duncan got called for the foul.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, obviously, that's not a foul shooting play, but it's just like, come on. Like, you mean to tell me that the defense was so pristine that you couldn't even. Look how many fouls we see called that, like, come on, those aren't fouls. And he couldn't get any of those? Like, man, they've got to do better. They've got to, like, work on. Maybe they got to bring in some Miami acting coaches and teaching them the art of the flop or something. They got to do something to get to that foul line and get some fouls on these Nuggets guys. Because the starting lineup yesterday for the Nuggets, you know how many fouls they had called on them?
Let's take a look.
Five. Five.
They only had 8 foul calls for the game.
For the game, yeah.
Unreal.
And Bron, man, that's efficiency.
8 minutes, 2 fouls.
8 minutes, 2 fouls.
He was like, I'm getting my name in
that is incredible. Okay, Adam, a silver lining it for Miami. Like, what positives did you see that you take away from game one that gives you hope that they can get it back in this series?
Well, you have to like what Bam Adebayo did. He's been pretty inconsistent in terms of his offense throughout the playoffs, but he stepped up yesterday. So there's something going on with him with that mid-range shot. Yeah, he didn't get any foul calls because he wasn't being super aggressive, but if he can score 20 to 25 points a game in this series just doing that medium-range jump shot, that's a huge positive for the Heat. And I think another positive for the Heat is how bad their role players were in a weird way. Mm-hmm. Because I just don't see them playing that bad. That was literally the worst that they could play when you talk about Caleb Martin, who is arguably the MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals.
Maybe
there was a huge
been.
Argument for that, yeah. And then you have Duncan Robinson and Strus. Strus is 0 for 10. Strus is not going to go 0 for 10. So
that was crazy.
If you're like the head coach, if you're Spoelstra, if you're anybody with the Heat, you have to tell the guys, listen, there's probably no other way we could play as bad as we did in game one. And we still were relatively close.
Yeah.
They still made the run at the end of the game. You know, he got it down to 10-9 points.
Yep.
So they were in it. It wasn't like a 30-point blowout. And they could say, it's only up from here. We're getting Tyler Hero back in game three. And so that's, you know, Hightower also played well for them.
Yep.
That's kind of a guy that nobody really knows about. And he scored, I believe, 18 points. So, yeah, it's just I don't think that they'll play as bad in the next few games.
Interesting of you just looking at the box score. Kevin Love didn't play. Kevin Love couldn't get in there, TJ.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised. You know, I saw Zeller get some run.
Like they went with Zeller and Highsmith.
I thought
instead
it was
of,
smart.
Instead
and
of Kevin
maybe
Love.
It's because, you know, Joker wasn't, you know, scoring at a high rate until like the end of the game. So maybe if he had come out more aggressive and been scoring, maybe they would have thrown Love out there a little bit more just to put another body on him. I mean, I don't know, but I was a little surprised that he didn't see any run whatsoever. But you know, hey, that game's in the books now, and they just got to regroup and go, look, we probably won't play this bad again, and just, you know, move on. But you, like you guys said, they got to get more aggressive. They got to make it a point to try to get to the foul line, or just not even to get to the foul line, just to draw some fouls on this team.
Yeah, draw some fouls, get to the line. You got to get easy points when the clock's not moving because, you know, kind of as we mentioned yesterday on the big show, Miami's only chance is to keep this in this scoring range, under 200 points, around 200 points, play this game in the high 90s, low 100s,
and
they were able to do that. It was kind of a grind. You know, we didn't see Denver really running up and down, getting their fast break going. When they did, they got easy shots, obviously, but 104-93. This is where Miami wants to be. Yeah. They want to be in this range.
You made up the point about Kevin Love, and that's a good point, because if you look at Denver's front line, they have a really tall front line when you have Aaron Gordon, who's 6'10", MPJ, who's about 6'10", and then Jokic. So those guys are all three guys that are in their starting lineup.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Kevin Love wasn't out there.
And you would think Kevin Love, he just gives them a little more size. He has that experience playing in the NBA Finals before, so
you can shoot the three.
Yeah, just so I don't understand. At least give him 10 to 15 minutes a game and see what he does. At least mix it up down in the paint, make it a little tougher for Gordon and MPJ. So, I'd like to see Love in Game Two if I'm a Heat fan.
Yeah, I would think so too.
And I called Highsmith Hightower, by the way. That was kind of
Hightower.
I made that mistake, but
Hightower, like Beverly Hills Cop, Police Academy.
Yeah. Heywood Highsmith. What a name, by the way.
Yeah, it's like a 1970s ABA player's name, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Man, Aaron Gordon was awesome. Super efficient, 7 of 10, 2 free throws. Man, 16 points, 12 of that, obviously, in the first quarter. Predictions for Game Two. Are we coming back on Monday and it's 2-0? Or does Miami steal one? Man, I would be shocked if they stole one. Not going
to
play this poorly. I mean,
exactly.
I think this is kind of the – I mean, Miami has been playing kind of above their weight the whole playoffs.
Absolutely.
I think we can agree with that.
Like I said, they shouldn't even be here, really.
Yeah, no, they shouldn't. But now that they're here, they're not going to play this unless this is who they've always been and they were just punching up. But Caleb Martin, who was – like Dwayne Wade was 1 of 7. Gabe Vincent – 7 of 14, that's a lot of shots for him. But Strus 0 for 10, Robinson 1 for 6. I can't see that continuing. Kyle Lowry had a pretty good game, 11-5-5 for 26 minutes.
Yeah, and, you know, he was kind of like at the forefront of that charge they met when they made when they went, I think, on like a
8-0, 9-0
run. Yeah, and they kind of cut the lead down. That was Lowry who was in there. So, you know, I think it's 2-0.
I think it's 2-0-2, Adam. But if Miami can, I don't know what, like cover the spread, like keep it close, single digits, that would have to give them some confidence going back home, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. I believe in Game Three, that will be a huge boost with Tyler Hero coming back. Just in terms of a guy who's scored 20 points a game during the year, you're back home in Miami. So even if it is 0-2, I expect the Heat to put up an effort in for the series to possibly be, after four games, a 2-2 series. I believe Miami can win both games in Miami. But Butler needs to play like a superstar. He's been playing outrageous, arguably the best player of the entire playoffs. But what he did in game one is just not going to cut it. If he really wants to get that ring, we all want Jimmy Butler to get a ring. Agreed? Like,
I think so, yeah. I really like him, aside from the fact that he plays for Miami. I mean, I think he played on any other team, he'd be one of my favorite players.
Yeah, if you know about his story, he came from a really rough childhood, and his mom abandoned him when he was like 13 years old. He was bouncing from house to house. He was a late first-round pick for the Bulls, so he's kind of been the underdog the whole time of his career. And I just love watching this guy play. But what he did in game one, that's just not going to – he needs to score 30, 35 points a game.
He for sure needs to be in that, like, 20, like you said, 27, 30 every single night. Double-digit rebounds. He needs to get to the free throw line multiple times. I think if you're Miami and you're looking at Denver, you know, we've been singing Denver's praises, like, so much, which deservedly so. They've been awesome all year. They were under 500 on the road this season. 19-22 on the road, TJ. Obviously, they were awesome at home. They were the second best home team in the NBA, 34-7, but sub 500 on the road. So if you're Miami, positives from game one, you didn't get blown out of the gym.
I think that's where it ends. I don't think there's any other positive you could take.
You fought, and your role players, who have been awesome, shot as bad as it could be.
Yeah.
Keep it close in game two, and even if you don't win, and then carry any momentum into going back home, the energy of the home crowd, and the Denver's just a different team, you know,
on the road.
And those role players, they'll play way better at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. I think it's 2-0, and I think Miami gets one at home, but they really need to get both at home. Miami really needs to win both home games.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, or else it's over. Yeah.
Yeah, for this to have any shot. TJ, I'm going to ask you this because I saw it on First Take this week, and I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, okay.
You love Joel Embiid.
I do.
Which of these guys winning a championship this year is worse for Embiid? Jokic or Jimmy Butler, his former teammate?
I saw that as well, and I had to laugh.
It's a really good topic. Good sports radio.
I don't know if it is. I mean, what Jokic and Embiid, like, I don't think that Joker winning a title really would have any effect on Joe. Like,
why not? What do you mean?
Why would it? Would it be so? If Anthony Davis won, would that have an effect on, like,
Anthony Davis hasn't won an MVP.
Okay.
Hasn't been, granted, you know, head-to-head with him.
I guess
my
point being, there's only one right answer for this, and it's Jimmy Butler, because you had Jimmy. You played with Jimmy. Now, mind you, you only got half a year with Jimmy, and then he left. But I feel like, yeah, Joe would have to look like, if we were able to have kept Jimmy, then that could have been him in the finals, and it probably would have been him at some point in the finals. And I feel like that would be the answer to the question, just because him and Joker, they had a head-to-head, they were MVP, whatever. I don't think that that's affecting him, but a guy who you had in-house, you played with the guy, you still have a friendship with the guy. The guy came out on national TV and said he believes that you're the MVP of the league. Like, that guy leading this team to a championship when you had him, and then you look at who we kept and let Jimmy walk, I feel like that would probably be the biggest kind of, like, oh, for Embiid, just in my personal opinion.
Adam, what do you think? I think it's Jokic, but...
So do I. I think it's Jokic, just because there is that controversy, who should be the MVP this year, who's the real MVP? Well,
the last 2 years.
Yeah. And then finally Embiid gets his MVP, and then Jokic, who a lot of people think deserves it all along and is the better player, if he goes and wins the championship, then everybody in their head's like, yeah, Embiid won that year, but we all know who the real MVP was.
Sure.
And it's not, I know it's not a...
It's not fair. It's not fair, you know, either.
I was going to say it's not a playoff award. It's really a regular season award.
Sure.
But in a weird way, when people think of the MVP, they think of who is the best player also with the playoffs. And that's at least how I think about it.
Yeah, it's unfair that the playoffs get attached to it as well.
But in people's minds, I think it does.
Well, that's why people discount Barkley's MVP and Karl Malone's MVP.
Exactly.
It's like, what did they do? Oh, Jordan beat them in the finals?
Exactly. And it would be a similar situation with this, in terms of if Jokic won the championship, everybody's like, yeah, he's the best player, he should be the MVP.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jokic, I wanted to bring up this stat I thought was really interesting. So Jokic and Murray are the second pair of teammates to each have 25 points and 10 assists in an NBA Finals game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to guess the other duo?
Well, I think we mentioned it. Is it Jordan and Pippen?
Nope.
No, it's I saw this last night. It's Magic and James Worthy.
Mm-hmm, Magic and James Worthy in 1987.
Wow.
That's the only other pair of teammates to do that, which is pretty incredible.
25 plus and 10 assists in the same game together,
yeah.
People forget, this guy doesn't get mentioned a lot for whatever weird reason.
James Worthy.
But you don't get a nickname like Big Game James if you don't show up. You can't just show up big in like one game or maybe three games. No, you have to have a resume of showing up big when the games mattered most. And that's what James Worthy did. And so just randomly, not even thinking about it, we need to give James Worthy his flowers, because that man, when the championships were on the line, when the games mattered most, James Worthy stepped his game up, you know, and I feel like he's just a very underrated player in the history of the NBA. James Worthy was that dude. Yeah, and James, like I said, nice. you don't get a name like Big Game James. You don't get a nickname like Big Shot Rob unless you've hit some big shots. And you don't get a Big Game James unless you perform when it counts. So, you know, props and shout out to the legend James Worthy, man. You did your thing, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, getting back to that Joker Butler thing. I understand what you guys are saying.
Yeah,
but you made some good points.
They play the same position.
But they play, but it's still a team game, right? And that team could have been better than your team. No matter, because we saw what happened. There's only one thing you can rest this on: their head to head matchup. And in that head to head matchup, Embiid thoroughly dominated Joker. Thoroughly dominated him. Right. So I keep looking back to the fact that Jimmy Butler, who's led a team to the finals twice now since he left Philly, that's got to, Joe has to look at that sometimes and go, man, this guy was right here. Look what we could have done. They only played, I think, 30 games together. So like I said, I understand your arguments, but yeah. I feel like the guy, it's always like, you know, the girl that got away, or the guy that got away, whatever, you know, who you're dating. Jimmy Butler, I feel, is always going to be the one that got away from Philly. And because of that, this team is not going to get as far as they probably should have, because they let the wrong guy stay and they let the wrong one walk.
Yeah. Okay, that's going to do it. We're doing some quickies after the finals game. We're going to react to each NBA finals game. It should be fun. Hopefully we get a nice long series. So you see more of us. Who doesn't want to see more of us? All right, guys.
There's a couple guys in the comments that don't want to see more of us. Hey, you're watching, right? Thank you. Thanks for watching.
Hey, enjoy your weekend, everybody. Enjoy game two on Sunday. We'll see you back here Monday night. Peace out.
Later.